Our guest today was Eddie Pepitone, one of my favorite comics. Eddie's career highlights are hard to decide because there are so many of them. He's been a comedian for a long time. I'll just rattle off a few. He did sketch appearances on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. He's been on Sarah Silverman program, Nick Swartzen's Pretend Time. He made a short mockumentary film called Runyon. First season of Last Comic Standing, regular sketch performer on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. I mean, it just goes on and on. He's been in a bunch of TV shows. If you've seen him perform, you've probably never seen him perform stand-up because you're an idiot. But if you can, you really should. You really have to just see him live. That's a ticket with a lot of people, but especially with Eddie. And it's amazing. He tours around the country doing all kinds of sizes of rooms. And so you can see him at weird punk clubs, sometimes talking to 22 people. And it doesn't matter if there are 12 people or 1,200 people or 12,000 people in the audience. He murders every single time. And he has biting social commentary and criticisms of the powers that be interwoven seamlessly with, real, not seamlessly, but perfectly unseamlessly with his dick jokes. And anyway, I love him. We've been friends for a while now. I don't even quite remember where I met him. We've been on probably at the Altercation Comedy Festival here in Austin. JT Haversat runs a really cool festival every year. It's actually going to happen next weekend when I'm recording this, but a few weeks ago when you're hearing this. And if you can ever make it out to Altercation Comedy Festival, it's a really cool time. A lot of comics who work the road a lot come to that festival and meet each other. And it's cool because it's people who really love stand-up and aren't necessarily so famous that they can just get a bunch of idiots to come out. No, just, you know how people just love famous people? But this is comics who love working the road, who just want to do stand-up, all coming together. And anyway, so I met him there. He's the nicest guy. He turns out to be a friend of my girlfriend's best friend, too. So we've just hit it off. And I asked him to do the podcast because we were both on Skankfest Comedy Festival in Vegas a few weeks ago. And they had a podcast studio there. So he graciously agreed to do that and spent an hour and a half or so with me talking about basically... I tried to get him to have a controversial opinion, but he wanted to talk about his confusion as to what to do when there are allegations of sexual misconduct against someone. Basically, do you just cancel someone in your heart or in your lifestyle based on allegations? Or what do you do about it? You don't want to not take things seriously. You don't want to condemn someone who you don't know actually did the things they're being accused of. And so we really explored that. On top of how to handle allegations against your friends, we talked about a number of other things, including the economics of the comedy world, what life is like for comedians in that way. We also talked about sex differences and some of the missteps in certain strains of feminist thought and how that has affected our ability to figure out the sexual relations between men and women. And we talked about the Hasan Minhaj scandal. I do want to say what we talked about, the perspective that we had at the time when we were discussing Hasan, the allegations that what he was saying was not true, and the presentation of it that the New Yorker, I believe it was the New Yorker, right? They, the way that they painted the story, I've now seen Hasan's response on Instagram kind of dispelling some of that, and maybe a lot of that was basically fake news. I haven't yet watched the full thing on YouTube, so I'm curious to hear how he defends the anthrax thing. But it may well be that the piece against him was kind of a hit job that was really unfair and really mischaracterized the nature of the dishonesty involved. And it could be that everything that he says in his stand-up really is very defensible, and I wouldn't have any problem with a comedian smushing the truth around it like that. So I think just take our conversation, if nothing else, as just if a comedian were to lie the way that the New Yorker presented Hasan is lying, then Eddie and I are both just saying that's not okay. And that really does take away from the credibility of the truth telling that a lot of that most comedians are going for on stage. Apologies to Hassan if he's not a lying piece of shit. Our bad. This is the Politically Non-Binary Podcast, and I'm your host, Ariel Isaac Norman. Every week, I have on a comedian or some other concerned citizen to confess a controversial opinion or two. Enjoy. This is Politically Non-Binary.
Politically Non-Binary, okay.
Right, that's my way of kind of, it's like sort of trolling the libs while also inviting them in at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's non-binary, but I'm politically non-binary. And I am, you know, and most comics are, right? Good, you know, we're just kind of, we're going to question everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think most comics, and now I'm starting my podcast stuff. I think, Ariel, most comics who are smart realize that to just be political is kind of a drag.
Yeah.
And I'm very politically, I'm very left wing. I'm very like, I try to attack the military, the Pentagon, like where all the money goes.
Yeah.
You know? But you have to be funny first. You can't be right up there, you know, preaching or whatever.
Yeah.
It has to be funny. And so I talk about fucking on a piano.
Yeah. And then you go in. Slide it in. Yeah, exactly.
Slide. Yeah.
You lube them up.
Lube them up. And then slide it in. Piano stuff. And then.
Like, by the way, the military is a jobs program that gets votes for Republicans and takes the rest of our money that we could be using on roads. Yeah.
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 Something like
it's
that.
It's important. It's important work you do. It's important work.
I felt like that wasn't genuine.
No, it is. If anything, I'm too aggrandizing about comics' place in the world. I think we are preachers. Like you don't be
a
preacher.
That's true.
But it's like preachers when they're preaching, they can just get a laugh every now and then. They get an easy laugh. Like it's people are generous
fucking
with them.
Fucking easy laughs.
We got to be the opposite, where we get the laughs and then sprinkle in the preaching.
That's correct, yeah. You know what I was watching last night? I watched last night the Little Richard documentary.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
What?
I haven't seen it, so
well,
tell me.
So Little Richard what came from that preacher tradition. Like, he was such a powerful voice and performer. And, like, everything he did, and this is the word I associate with preaching, is like catharsism. Mm-hmm. And I think good stand-up is like that too, like getting kind of into a frenzy up there if you can, you know?
Yeah, you're getting the whole audience into a collective experience, just like with preachers. Absolutely. Yeah, catharsis for sure. I mean, I think a lot of what we do is express the thoughts and feelings and opinions and questions that a lot of people have, but they either can't say them out loud or they haven't even figured out how to articulate them for themselves. So we're not only representing them, but then we're helping them work through their own shit.
Do you see yourself in that vein, what you just said? Do you see yourself, or is this too pretentious a word, as a healer somewhat?
I guess I've never thought of healer before, but it does feel like, you know, we are a little bit providing some sort of therapy. Sometimes there is that, but healer, it's like, you know, like there's the surgeon who comes in and like rips you open and does some stuff, but then someone else is going to patch you up and make it not like, I think we're maybe the surgeons, but then there's a nice nurse who needs to do the healing. We do some damage and then hopefully it's integrated.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I think. I think that we do healing, and it's by what you said, like we talk about things that people can't articulate, or they don't even know they can articulate it. Like what I've been saying, and I'm still scared to talk about the really vulnerable shit that goes on with me, but I've learned that every time I do, people are like, yes, that's me too. Like, I'm on antidepressants, and I can't have an orgasm sometimes, and I've started talking about that on stage, and people are like, fucking me too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is healing in that way because people need to know that they're not alone. And sometimes when people find out that they're not alone online about stuff, they wind up creating some kind of incel community. So it's probably best if they get it from us.
Yeah. You know, I'm way older. I'm 64. And the online thing to me is still like, wow. I still, whenever I'm online, I feel like, well, this is like 20% reality.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't very real, but people, like, live there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the you know, goal is to get it to stay into the kind of 15, 20% reality and not get, become more, because, but it's probably going that direction. I mean, with VR and everything, I think there's just going to be a split where there's a lot of people who do increasingly live their lives online in a kind of matrix of their own sort of devising.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is scary, but then at the same time, it may mean that those of us who want to enjoy the real world will have a lot less traffic and stuff, you know.
We'll have what?
A lot less traffic. Like, those people might just stay home. Once the
You're thinking in terms of traffic.
Well, yeah.
Which
just
I get.
Think, okay, all these incels who are shooting up schools and stuff, right? Like, if they can just plug themselves into some vanilla sky shit.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are going to, because we increasingly do that. Like, maybe if you were just asked, like, hey, do you want to give up reality and plug yourself in? You would say no. But this slow boiling the frog thing that we're doing where people are on their phone, and now they're at the VR sets, and now people are doing the VR sets with the fleshlight. And once it's
Are they?
Oh, yeah. A little, yeah.
I have to get into those communities. Yeah. No, it just sounded, that's why I have to really try to stay away from weed, even though I love it, is that weed is a thing that makes me insular.
Yeah.
I could be very self-sufficient if I have enough money in the bank and a fleshlight.
Yeah.
And the...
See, that's a problem. We're gonna lose some good comics to it too. That's gonna suck.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, please stay out of
it. I haven't done it. I know I can't.
Yeah.
Because I would, what happens there is that really is pleasuring yourself to death. Like, there's a book that came out even before the internet by a guy named Neil Postman called Amusing Ourselves to Death. Oh, you know it. Yeah. Amusing Ourselves. And it's happening.
Right.
You know, the world is going to shit. There's an eco catastrophe happening. You know, 150 species a day. It's just murderous.
So, you know, but that is one of the theories about why, you know, anything exists, where all this comes from, is that this always happens and we get to the place where we destroy the environment and everything, and we at the same time create the technology to just plug ourselves into the matrix. And then you get into that, and then maybe this is nine matrixes deep because we just keep ruining whatever made up, you know, whatever fake planet we're on. Whatever holographic thing that we've created, we just keep doing the same thing
ruining
and then making
another.
We've
holographic stuff?
We've ruined the holographic one, you know.
How do you do that?
Because we made the holographic one just like a real, you know. That is just one of those.
That's getting really, like, deep. Like,
I think that's what Elon Musk believes, actually. So it's not even.
Really? Well, if Elon believes it, then I'm on board because I took a ride in a Tesla once with a friend.
That guy's on to something.
And he goes, hold on. And my stomach went up into my throat. It was like being on a roller coaster. Like, the car could go from zero to like 100. And I said, okay, Elon Musk. And I'm also hoping that he's talking about colonizing Mars.
Right.
And that would be, I already
have. That's where he belongs.
What?
That's where he belongs. That feels right for him.
Yeah.
I don't mind him tweeting from Mars, you know, and having kids named XYZ.
He ruined Twitter.
I mean, I don't know if it's ruined. It was always a lot of good, a lot of bad. Now it's still a lot of good, a lot of bad. I don't know. What do you not like about it? I don't get on there that much anyway, so I don't know.
I'm not either, but I used to like it if I thought of something really funny and I wanted some attention. Mm-hmm. You know what social media is for comics. Maybe everybody, but just like I would put it on Twitter and just I would make cocoa and sip cocoa and watch the likes come in. You know, I'd be in a loose fitting robe and just walk around my place in Hollywood and just be like, look at the likes come in, honey. I was with nobody, but I would say, honey.
See, but soon you'll have your virtual girlfriend that you can show your likes.
Ooh,
Don't go down that road.
The real world is crazy. Relationships. I just was going into a hack talk. That relationships are nuts, aren't they, folks?
They are hard. Well, hey, Eddie, will you introduce yourselves however you want to? Yourself? Will you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi, I'm Eddie Pepitone. I'm a comedian, actor, from New York, live in L.A. for the last 21 years, thinking about going back to New York soon.
No, come to Austin.
What?
Come to Austin.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't want to live in a heat dome for, I don't know, how many months do you guys go through that?
This summer was real bad.
Let me tell you something. I would look at your guys' temperature every summer. I'm good friends with JT Habersat. We tour. And I would say, how do you fucking live there?
Why don't you just do residencies like October, April, something like that?
That I could do.
I think a lot of people could start doing that. Skip the summer for sure, but like just come in the temperate months and then, you know, just stay, hang out, do the mothership and the Krieg and all the places.
Yeah. Have you done the mothership?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's fun.
It's great, right?
Oh, yeah. It is great. You have, you know, audiences in Austin who are comedy audiences. Like,
they are.
We always had a cool scene in Austin, but definitely with the Creek and the Cave and the Kiltony at Vulcan. And like, we have 12 comedy clubs now and counting. And like,
and Austin is pretty, the clubs, and you tell me if this is true because I don't know it that well, but it seems like everything is right next to each other.
A lot of them are right next to each other. So we do have this kind of thing. So in a lot of ways, it's even better than New York in terms of like just being able to like do all these, and we get paid better than New York and for all our spots. And
well, Mothership is
Mothership
great.
Pays better than, when I, you know, and also
and
even just bar
too.
Bar shows and clubs. You
is
get,
that right?
You
can make money now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's great.
So that's a good thing.
That is really good.
So what's your controversial opinion?
My controversial opinion about, that's so broad. Like,
well, you get to pick one, I'm sure you.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, how about, I'm confused by this, so maybe you could help me with this too. But like, do people deserve to be canceled for allegations against them? Like, I know this is a heavy duty one, but like, it actually came up yesterday, like that I took a picture with someone and then I got a message from a friend who was like, don't fucking take a picture with this person. Because this person's a scumbag. And I'm like, what happened? And so I Googled it, and it's all like, who knows?
Hearsay, and
what do you think about that whole thing? Like, and is it kind of a woman-man thing? Like the guys are like, no, like, this is all innuendo, and the women are like, believe us.
You know, I just think it's really complicated.
Yeah, right?
I would say, like, in the Austin comedy scene, for instance, because I've been there since 2015, so...
Where are you from?
Houston originally, but I started comedy in Boston, and then I moved to Austin.
I think it's good that you started in Boston.
Absolutely it was, because I got a lot from... Because it was just a year that I was in Boston before moving to Austin, but I got a lot of, like, professionalism and stuff that I learned from.
I'm partial to the Northeast.
I am, too. I'm really glad, because, like, I definitely also think that I helped the Austin comedy scene in 2015 to grow up a little bit. There was already a lot of good talent here and some stuff, but then I was able to be like, oh, hey, guys, this is how to handle, you know, the mic or whatever. Like, this is when you host a show.
You revolutionized mic handling in Austin.
It's just a lot of people weren't even moving stand or something like that. Would be kind of basic things that if you had we just didn't have a comedy culture, like a history in Austin. So, and I was also really always encouraging people to get us paid for shows. They would have these free bar shows that were huge. Like, hundreds of people would come out to this thing every Wednesday night. Totally free, and they weren't even doing a tip jar. And I was like, dude, you're making this bar so much money. You need to negotiate with them for us to get paid, for us to get food truck tickets, and then do a you know.
Good for you. Thing, yeah. Good for you, because I was one of those pussies who always was like, well, okay, you know.
I It, because Austin is like the music capital of the world, live music capital of the world, what happened is when I first moved to Austin, my girlfriend would want to go to, you know, or actually, I remember it was just one time we went to ABGB and we just meant to have pizza with friends, but there's a band playing, which sucked. It was too loud. I hated it. I wished it weren't happening. But yet they come around with the tip bucket and my girlfriend, and we, you know, she was a farmer, I'm a comedian, like I had just left my millionaire wife, like we were broke as fuck. And she's just going to put a $5 bill in there. And I'm like, whoa, $5. And then I was like, wait a minute, why the fuck? I don't even want this to be happening. I don't think most of the people here want it to be happening. And then people come to see comedy shows, laugh their asses off, and they're just free. And we're supposed to just be like, oh, fuck us. Thanks for the water bottle.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So I was like, let's get ourselves paid. We deserve it now.
And it's unbelievable. And I think this works throughout society, too, is that if you're willing to not take money, these motherfuckers who have the money will not give it to you.
And that's something we need to understand as artists, as comedians, as the writers, you know, because we all, and comics in some way, we should figure out how to kind of get, not unionized necessarily, but kind of form a guild.
Absolutely.
And be honest and direct about how much, because yeah, people will get away with not paying us and they'll go, aren't you just happy for the exposure or whatever?
That's the line they use in New York and LA, you know, especially LA, like, oh, this is great exposure.
Right, like what are you?
It's like fuck you.
Right. Plus, most of us can like put something on Instagram or TikTok at this point, but get more exposure than whatever
that's
show.
That's true too. That's changed the game a little bit.
Yeah, but we all just need to advocate for ourselves. It's just hard with stand up because, especially for young comics who are just needing stage time, you know, they have us by the balls because we need stage time to get good, to stay good, to work on our material. And so there is, forget exposure, there is just a benefit to us already in that we are getting to perform. And so, like, then it becomes like, especially in New York, people just want spots. And a lot of people who are running shows are losing money or not making any money anyway at a lot of those shows where you're getting spots. But in Austin, it's like, we can make money. And then it sucks because the people who run shows are usually comics. So then once you run a show, then you know you've been exploited for most of your shows. So then you go like, well, I'm finally making some money if I don't pay the comics that much. So now you have to figure out how much to exploit your friends because they're exploiting. And it's like, I just try to figure out how much should each person really contribute to this show? Like, and what percentage feels right to take for myself? What percentage feels right to give this person?
Right. Do you run a show?
I run three shows, actually.
You run three out there.
I mean, I have some help, you know, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one monthly, one bi-monthly, and one weekly.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Especially weekly.
Yeah, but the weekly ones
come so quick, the shows.
But in some ways, the weekly ones are easier because once you build a following and audience, then you don't really have to promote. And then it's just like you get all the stage time every week and you get to book people and have a good. Yeah.
Right.
It's like a Tuesday show that's like, it's only $15 a ticket. So I get to like be really loose and try new material. And yeah.
Do you travel around the country too doing shows?
Mm-hmm.
Headlining?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that, for me, like once I'm doing hours around the country, I don't need that much stage time anymore.
Right.
Like when I get back to LA, but I do it and I've been performing a lot locally when I get back home in LA too. And I really have been like, you're right about getting this stage time. Like I just feel like I'm at another level now because I'm on stage so much. Yeah. I just don't care, which you have to kind of be in that.
Yeah. You do have to. I mean, that's so much of this is getting to the place where you don't care and where you're self-confident.
You don't want to be like, please love me. That's a fucking horrible. Most of my career has been, please love
me. Yeah, you're taking a bunch of people who, that's our whole thing. And then we have to learn how to have just the self-confidence.
Yeah. Like I watch Chappelle still. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that motherfucker looks like he's just talking in his living room.
Right. Yeah. We're getting there. I'm sure you'll get there. Just 10 more years for you.
No, I'm pretty much there. Depending on the day, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you know how it goes.
Yeah. Okay. But so back to your
this really
question.
Isn't an opinion, was it? It was like
you throw it to me. That's fine. We can form it as the opinion is, hey, this is confusing. I don't know what to do about cancel culture and allegations. And that it's So before Rogan times in Austin, so between 2015 and like 2020, there were at least three different allegations made against men in the old Austin comedy scene of varying extents of you know misdeeds. And I have always been someone who is like, you know, innocent until proven guilty is the court system, but there's a certain amount of like, let's just not assume right away when you hear something in the grapevine, you know, just the same way if someone puts a little clip of something online, you're like, well, I do want to see the context for that. And so that's how I've always been. And when you know, one of the allegations, you know, later the woman, and you know, because I talked to the guy, I didn't know the girl in this case, but like I'm talking to people about it, trying to kind of figure out, because I don't want to be friends with a predator, and I don't want to be hugging them and putting them on, you know. But you know, it seemed to me like it didn't happen, and then later it turns out that she was lying. She's like kind of crazy, and we all know she's crazy. Yeah. And then he's gay anyway. Later, he comes out as gay, you know. And we had a couple.
That one fell apart.
Yeah. So there were a couple things like that. There was one woman who accused this guy of something that, like, there's like a little bit of grossness, I guess, in something he did, but it wasn't that bad at all. And she made it out. And she told me before that she was a sociopath and not to tell anyone that. And then she used it to get into a secret Facebook group for like talented female comics in Austin that, like, then once she used that accusation to get, because her friend was like, she needs to be in this group because we need to help each other. She used that to get into that group. And then that group kind of just became any female comics in Austin, which sucks because when you last minute want to book your show and you go, I would really like to give this spot to a woman, you want to be able to go to a group that's funny women and go, who can do the spot? But if all the unfunny chicks get in because of that, now
you can't.
So I gotta go to the best of Austin Comedy Secret Facebook group and just ask those people. Right. So it's probably gonna be a man who gets it.
Until eventually there's just one group and it's just you texting yourself.
Yeah. You know what? I'll just do more time on the show tonight. That's always fine with me. So there was another one that was kind of like it's just a whole story, but point being, the stuff before the Rogan times, it really was like you look into it and you go, this is a pretty human thing. I think there's something we could learn from
what
here.
What about after Rogan times?
Now increasingly there are at least two comics who have moved here since 2020,
right,
who I have heard really credible accusations of really bad sexual misconduct. And I don't know, though, because I don't have firsthand information.
But you tend to believe the people who are saying it.
The people who have told me, there's one person who it feels 65-35 to me that he's guilty of stuff, but I don't know quite what, because it's all very vague. Like the thing, like it's, I'm confused by that one, but I've distanced myself
because
he's also someone who kind of plays the villain in his stand up. And I love that. Like, I love that comedy. I love his comedy. But then you go, well, if you actually are the villain, like, I can't with this anymore.
Right.
And then there's another one who is very similar, like really dark, fucked up jokes, but I love his jokes. But the accusations that have been leveled to me against him are particularly from one person who I really believe, like, he seems very sincere, that he's telling me like this happened to his friend. And then like I've heard like he had other stories about other times, and it all seemed like this makes a lot of sense to me.
Right.
But him and the other guy who know about it, like, they won't talk about it publicly. They don't want their names involved and whatever. And so like, I have enough to, you know, like I'm telling people about it though. Like, I'll tell people in the grapevine, like, this is what I've heard. I can't be sure that this is true, but just so you know, because I think it is important, especially for females, to tell each other, like, watch out for this guy.
Be on guard.
This is, cause I don't really care if it's not true. Like, I don't have enough to ruin his life. Like, I don't have enough to where I think it's warranted to ruin someone's life and whatever. But if he does do this, his life should be ruined. You know, like, if these things are true, they should. And it's enough that I'm like, this needs to go in the rumor mill. And that's important for women to gossip, you know, because we need to protect ourselves. And it's like, I'll tell them, like, I'm not sure, but I have pretty good authority on this that it makes me feel like it's likely enough that this is true that we should tell each other. And so now I don't say hi to him. You know, I'm not going to.
You don't?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I asked him about it. And he,
what'd he say?
He denied it. And, but in a very, like, I have just been watching the show Signs of a Psychopath on HBO. And I'm like,
did you see a couple possibly? Yeah.
Yeah. The way he was defending it, I was like, you seem just like these murderers who are...
Is there a show, Signs of the Psychopath?
Signs of a Psychopath.
Sounds terrific.
It is. It's actually really good because psychopaths, I always thought that they were all really intelligent because of all the famous serial killers. So like, you know, whoever. But it turns out like most psychopaths... are just stupid. They're just as dumb as everybody. And so they want to be serial killers. They'll write in their journal, like, I'm going to be a serial killer. And then they just, like, kill their two friends at school, and immediately the teacher's like, there's blood on your shirt, and there's people murdered in the... And so he gets caught. And so he gets caught, and then, like, it's like, dude, now you're in prison. You're not even a serial killer. You only killed two people. It's so embarrassing. You have to kill three. It's a hard minimum of three, right?
I think so.
It's like saying you had an orgy when you had like a threesome or foursome. Like, it's not, you're not two people, isn't it? You killed your two friends at lunch, you know?
Absolutely. So, killing two people at lunch is, in modern day America, it's just what people do.
It's just, yeah. It's just a lunch. And then 12 years later, he's like up for potential, like it's his one chance to be like, has this guy changed? He did this at 13 years old, you know, let's see. And you see him on the stand just crying, being like, over all these years, I've learned that I hurt people and how horrible. And he actually did like a good job of crying and it kind of being like, okay, maybe, right. Like maybe he had a really good psychologist in there.
Yeah.
And then the prosecuting attorney lady comes on and she's like, well, I guess you thought that we're all so stupid that we wouldn't listen to the tapes of the phone calls you made with your girlfriend from prison. And with him and his girlfriend are just laughing about how he's going to practice crying and he's going to learn how to fake cry and the fool idiot judge. And it's like, dude, first of all, like, yeah, I just didn't realize that it's a bunch of fucking retard psychopaths out there. Like, I thought they were smart. But then also it's he has a girlfriend. What? How did, you know what I mean? How did that happen?
Well, I'm sure you know about this phenomenon too, because you seem very well informed. But how about fucking serial killers?
Right, where these chicks are into them.
People,
yeah,
women chasing them.
You know what I think it is? They say 1 in 100 men are psychopaths, but we really can't tell with women. We don't know the numbers. It's very rare. But and when the women, because I watched the women episodes, and it's all them killing their kids or like some shit. Like, you know what I mean? You know,
they kill their husband. I watched the Dateline recently that was pretty interesting. I don't know if you heard this story. It took place in Utah, and she hasn't been convicted yet. But it looks like she did it. That. One of these things where she like calls the police, my husband isn't responsive, right? And I don't know what happened. You know, he wasn't feeling well the night before. It turns out they found a lot of fentanyl in his system that she probably gave him because they connected her to a cleaning lady who's got a record and she gets fentanyl for.
Yeah.
And all about the will. It's always about money.
Right. There's some, because for men who kill indiscriminately or for, you know, serial killing fun kind of stuff, they have the bloodlust. And I think women don't really have the bloodlust. When they're killing it's for money. Or you kill your kids because
even like to delve into what you're killing your kids.
Well, because one of them, it's like she was trying to get back at their father. And so let me take all of you out. Like, we're all going to die.
God.
But then she took these pills and she didn't die herself. Like, she thought she was going to take them all with her, but then she didn't take enough pills for herself. But yeah, I think so it's like awkward
Another
when you wake
idiot.
Up and you have to be like, yeah, exactly. These people are dumb. But so I think when the women psychopaths, a lot of times they probably do just want to date. They fall in love with the male psych because they're like, they don't want to kill the kid, but they like the evil. It's like the Ghislaine Maxwell thing too. Like, they'll help bad men. But they don't want to do the rape or whatever themselves.
Right.
They just like, they're just happy to be a part of it.
By the way, just talking about this true crime.
Behind every good serial killer, there's a...
What's that?
Behind every good serial killer, there's a...
But this is like a related topic to what we're talking about. I've been going through, I guess what they call it is true crime, right? This true crime phase. And I realize it doesn't serve me. You know, it doesn't serve me to watch this shit.
It's bad for people's souls.
It's bad
you don't
for your soul.
Watch too
and,
much of this.
And they talk about, I follow, this psychologist named David Hawkins is really interesting. He died, but he talks about higher levels of consciousness and lower levels of consciousness. And when you're watching this true crime shit, you're basically kind of just indulging your lower fucking self, you know? Yeah. It's like a giant fleshlight.
I think so. It is. You know, that's all the chicks who are super into true crime and it's supposedly chill. You know, the murder, like
they're on TikTok. They're on analyzing it.
Right. I'm like, they say like we're just trying to stay sexy and not get murdered. Like we're just trying to learn how. I'm like, no, you're not washing dishes listening to this shit because you're just like, I just have to make sure I never get murdered. I hate every moment of this. But no, it's like
imagine if you had to be that on guard. Yeah, honey, I'm taking out the garbage.
You don't watch an occasional thing. I like the serial killer psychopath ones because it's psychologically interesting. Like, it's fascinating to kind of see, like, the depths of, like, what the human brain can
it
be
is
like.
Scary.
But, yeah, it's kind of terrible. But you want to watch it a little bit and just go, okay, yeah, I probably shouldn't. I'll walk around at night, like, in weird places, know, but alone. You know, I walk around the world with very little fear, and so I'm like, you know, maybe I should get a knife or something, at least, if I'm going to be like this.
I fear if I got any kind of weapon, which I've never had in my life, and I've only been in New York and L.A. living-wise, which are dangerous cities, especially L.A., believe it or not.
Well, especially now, yeah. I mean,
L.A. to me is more, maybe because I'm more familiar with New York, but anyway, I just feared if I got any weapon, it would totally be used against me because I don't think I could ever stab someone.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Or shoot them.
Shooting especially, it's a lot. Yeah, you got to like, you got to get it and be ready and then
maybe
be sure
tase,
that you're ready. A tase,
But I hear they kill a lot of people. And before I tase someone, I always say, do you have a heart condition?
Right.
Like, I have a checklist.
I don't want to be responsible for this. Well, I heard some woman actually like went to prison because she tased an attacker and then like he died later. She didn't like,
and she
you were supposed to, yeah, you're supposed to stay there, call the cops and like get him checked out or whatever, or else you can have like reckless endangerment or some shit. Yeah.
A lot of the laws are fucked up.
Right. Yeah, yeah, they are. But okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
When you hear something like that, when you hear something bad,
an allegation,
and tell me like give me some kind of idea of the allegation, like how bad we're talking. Like, is the allegation, because there's like a
pretty
difference
bad,
between
like a rape allegation.
Rape allegation.
That's
so then,
bad.
Yeah, oh, that's really bad. So then, how do you feel about it? Are you
I feel
I'm not sure if it's true or what's
not sure if it's true. Yeah. So, you know, I Google it. And it's a he said, she said thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to ask this person.
Yeah.
Like outright, hey, did you?
Yeah.
That seems not
cool. It's
hard.
Yeah, it doesn't go great in my experience. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a cool way to do it.
But at the same time, when
the way you were talking about doing it seems very like hands on. You know, you talk to the people around this.
Yeah.
So.
When I, like I said, the ones who where I kind of determined these allegations are pretty much false or really overblown and being used weirdly, it was easier to talk to the men about that for sure because I think they were innocent, basically. Or, you know, if there was a little bit of something, they're
right.
kind of fudging. Well, you know, everyone's, from their own perspective, things
right.
are a little different. But with the one where I think it's really credible, like I did try to start the thing and like, hey, I've heard some things about you. Are you aware of like the rumor mill? Because it's like you should be aware if this is false. You should want to be aware of like this is something that's going on. But he very quickly got like closed off defense, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, this feels like you did it, dude. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what to do with this other than it feels like you did it. So, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It's I just don't think there's not like a believe women all like no, I mean we're all humans. Humans have various reasons to lie sometimes. So you can't really just trust anything, but you also don't want to just dismiss it out of hand and go, "Oh, I'm sure I know that guy. He would never." Because the truth is, we don't know our friends that well, and especially in the comedy world. We all know each other a little bit to varying extents. But like you always think you hear something about your good friend, you know, your good friend, and then you go, "But wait a minute, do I really know whether?" Because a lot of men don't even know themselves how kind of rapey
That's
they
so
are.
Fucking true.
Yeah, a lot of men are like they think they're fine. Then it's like no. Dude, you just got that chick drunk. You know, you found a drunk chick at 3 a.m. and she came home with you. She would never have gone home with you.
That's why I like being sober, by the way, which I'm not all the time, but I don't booze it up or do anything heavy. I'll smoke some weed sometimes, but I man, when you're not sober, when you're like really fucked up on alcohol or whatever, coke, whatever, you're capable of a lot. I know I'm capable of bullshit.
Yeah, we all are.
I keep trying to, when I was drunk a period a while ago, I kept trying to frame my wife for burglary.
Yeah. that wasn't Ambien? That was alcohol? It's a good Ambien.
Someone told me about Ambien recently, which I had no idea about.
Don't
that
take
people
it.
Are getting. are sleepwalking on planes and pissing in the aisle?
Yeah. All kinds
men,
of stuff.
Men, of course. But yeah. What?
Maybe
like
a trans woman.
They take their cocks out and just piss. Yeah. Like they're, and then they go back to their seats?
Yeah, on Ambien. Not just on airplanes, but even men just like in their own houses when they're old or on Ambien or drunk, they go and just... I heard one guy, he opened up his laptop, peed in that. And went,
peed
and
in his laptop?
Yeah, it's like, why? That it seemed just enough like a toilet lid. Like,
that's just the now muscle memory. Now I get the association, but...
Yeah, it wasn't his friend's laptop. It was his own laptop. So
you
really
should hope you have Apple Care when that's happening.
Yeah, have Apple Care if you're on Ambien, for sure.
Yeah, but anyway, so that it is fucking such a dangerous world if you're a partier. And by the way, when I watch these true crime shows, that is always a big element of it. What Jill didn't know was that Al had a cocaine problem, like secretly fucking doing drugs. Right. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, no, I mean, in drugs and especially alcohol and or drugs in combination with alcohol. Yeah, we all do like really crazy things. And then also like, you know, there's still this issue in the post-sexual revolution world where we're not really being honest with men and women's differences sexually. And the more that like some strains of feminism tried to be like, we're all the same, we're just raised differently. But really, women want sex just as much as men. And it's like, okay, some women want sex a lot and some men don't, whatever. There's still men are generally hornier. But also, men's sex drives are more urgent than women's. Men's sex drives are more urgent than women's. There's, y'all have a thing. Like, we don't really have blue balls anyway. But like, y'all have a thing where it's like, ugh! And like, we don't, like, y'all have cycles. We all have cycles. Y'all are just kind of like a daily balls fill up cycle or something like that.
Yeah.
And so there is something, there's just like a difference in sex drive and there's a huge, there's a lot of differences. Like they've done studies that women both put out more nonverbal communication and take in more nonverbal communication. And we don't realize a lot of times that men aren't picking, we think we're making something really clear. Someone's, you know, trying to touch you in a little way and you like squirm away and you think, okay, well that should tell them no. But if you don't directly say no, a lot of times the man thinks like, oh, I don't know what that was. You know, he's just going to tell himself.
I know. Oh, men are fucked up. Like, not in defense of, like, going over a boundary, but men get fucked, like, being raised, like, you got to take her.
Right. Yeah. No just means keep trying kind of a thing.
Yeah, they're fucking raised.
And you need to know the difference because it's true that some, there's certain kinds of no's that don't necessarily mean never, but trusting a young man to figure that out, you know, and especially when you're drinking. And then what women, when we drink, you know, it doesn't take as much to drink to get our frontal lobes completely turned off. And then I know, like, if I have enough alcohol, I'll try to fuck everybody, you know, forget sex and, you know, whatever. Like, we all, you can get to the point with drinking where you're just like a crazy whore. And like, as you know, like, but that's just what it can do. And so then the woman has no idea. She's going to be blacked out for that. The man thinks, okay, well, we both had six drinks. Like, I know I'm drunk, but like, we're not that drunk. Yeah. And like, this is fine. Yeah.
That
and
territory is.
It's really bad. And it's like, we really should just be so much more careful about drinking.
Absolutely. You know, especially kids, women.
Especially women. And it's like, we don't want to have to like put it all on women, but it's like, okay, women, don't be smart. You shouldn't be getting that drunk in these situations, whatever. Mm-hmm. But also men need to really be very careful about the, because I think most men don't want to accidentally rape women.
No.
You know, I don't, and or whatever you want to call it. Like, I don't think most men want a woman to wake up the next day and go, oh no, God. What? Fuck. I seemed like I was consenting last night.
Oh, yes.
Fuck. Yes. I was not there. Yes. I have no memory. My frontal lobe was gone. Like, you don't want that. So we just need to be really careful about alcohol, especially, and cocaine.
And what?
And cocaine. Yeah.
Oh, that one old. Yeah. I mean, the sexual drive with some of that stuff mm-hmm. is like, you know, even my aunts, and it's always during Christmas time, want to have sex with me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
Just let eggnog get some, you know.
Hello, we're speaking with Hasan Minhaj. Is he embellishing? That whole opinion, by the way. By the way, if you want a controversial opinion, do you know what I'm talking about
with
the Hasan Minhaj thing, who I never even heard of before this whole thing?
Shots fired. All right. Yeah.
So anyway, I watched a little of his special because people were talking about, you know, can a comic just fucking
just make up?
And right? I heard a lot of the comics saying, "Yeah, that's what we do." But no, it's
no.
You don't fucking tell this really seriously politically charged story,
right.
And you make it up.
They're hate crime hoaxes and shit.
Yeah,
yeah, classic hate.
I'm so
like Jesse Smollett level stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Know if that's a controversial.
No,
opinion.
I think we should. Exactly. I totally condemn that, and I don't want people thinking that that's what we do because almost right. everything I say on stage is true.
Same
there
here.
Are little sometimes little embellishments. Oftentimes, if I make a pure joke that's not true, like when I talk about that I know a pair of conjoined twins who both do they them, and no one ever knows who the fuck anyone's talking about. I almost
what was that? What about the conjoined
I was like,
twins?
Because I'm like pronouns can be confusing. Like I know a pair of conjoined twins who both do they them, and no one ever knows who the fuck anyone's talking about with that. And I'm like, I almost always after I say that, be like, okay, that one was a joke. But wouldn't you, if you were conjoined twins, wouldn't you do they them no matter what?
Yes.
It would be so easy to be famous on TikTok, if nothing else.
Yes.
But I don't want to say, especially because I talk about things that are political,
yeah.
that are personal. I don't want anyone going, oh, she could be making any of that up.
Exactly. Because yeah. then you fucking undermine your
yeah.
real shit. So, yeah, I that is such bullshit.
Well, there was a comic in Austin who, his name was like Ali Safar, unless that's a famous person.
Who?
Ollie, I can't remember.
It was in Austin?
Yeah. I haven't seen him in years because he, you know, he had like a big beard, like a kind of, you know, and so he would do this joke about how his birthday's on 9/11. And so he, you know, it's awkward for him because whenever people ask him, you know, where he was on 9/11, he has to say celebrating, you know. But so.
That's funny.
It's a great joke, and he won. I remember like this one year he won in the funniest person in Austin contest that they do at Cap City Comedy Club. They gave him like the joke of the night. He won $100. Shortly after that, and he'd been that was his best joke, you know, and it was like his
That's
you know
funny,
his
yeah.
main joke. So shortly after that, someone put him on blast because they're like, this guy's name is actually Alex Thompson, and he's Mexican, and he's just been pretending to be. He just grew out the beard and changed his name to Ali Safar, so he could do that one joke. Because that's so.
That first of all, there's a lot of that's a lot of faith in yeah. that one joke.
And then no one was ever gonna like call you out on this. Like people know you.
Oh my
Someone's
god!
Someone's gonna see you and be like, Alex.
That's fucking.
What do you mean?
You're that fucking. Is fucking funny.
So,
and
yeah.
psychotic a little bit.
And psychotic.
Like,
so maybe Hasan Minhaj, you know, maybe he's Mexican. The whole thing could be bullshit, but.
Yeah, no,
I don't think. I think, you know, comics, it's like, it's not as bad as stealing jokes, but we should basically kind of feel that way about comics who are stealing jokes or comics who are like making stuff up for that kind of, you know, that level of making stuff up for an obviously political reason. And it's also annoying because, like you said, like real comics, like we question everything. We're going to fuck with both sides, especially whoever's in the most power, but we're going to. And so it's like the ones who are the kind of like liberal pandering whatever, and you go, okay, but is it really helping racial relations in this country for you to be painting out this country as like super more racist than
right.
we actually are?
No, it's not.
I don't think that's helping.
No, not at all. Not
and
at all.
Realize we're
it's,
just like,
it's hardening people's positions.
Right.
It's like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. Then I really will. It actually is more polarizing.
It's more polarizing because you're making mm-hmm. some people on the left go, although all those Republican white people, even if they're white, you know, people types are the worst, and this country is evil
right.
to its core, and whatever. And then
right.
the people who are more on the right are looking at that going, fuck you, man. We're not that racist.
That's
like,
right.
Stop this. And then they kind of become more racist and more anti-woke and everything like that. And yeah, so it is.
It's, yeah, totally. So it gets back to, you know, not to give this full closure and a nice button, but it.
assault allegations, a nice button.
It gets back to the first thing about allegations and when you said it's complicated and all this shit is complicated and people. The politics and what's going on in this country now, and you know the election is coming up.
Mm-hmm. RFK Jr.
Okay. What's that?
I'm just all about RFK Jr. I think everyone should make sure they're registered as a Democrat in whatever state they are if they have primaries like that, and just nominate him. Even if they kill him, then everyone will wake up. Probably can't kill three Kennedys and not have. You know what I mean? And they won't even get him Secret Service.
Anyway, oh my God! Yeah.
But
why
I love him so much.
Why does Trump, let's call the devil by his name, like why does he have 42 million followers?
Because he's willing to say a lot of things. He's really willing to talk
like
freely,
a comic.
And well, like a comic, exactly. And they love comic. People love comics for our candor because everyone's so you're not allowed to say stuff. And whether that's because you're not allowed to say anything on the left or on the right, you know, people were still being buttoned up to politicians. Their base is a bunch of pearl clutchers, they thought. And then Trump, like, we just want people to tell us the truth. Anything that even seems like authenticity.
Yeah.
And then if you can be funny, and then you can, and people are anti-establishment, you know.
That's it. Yeah.
And so that's why it's like, yeah, let's get RFK in there. He's anti-establishment, but intelligent and good and caring and non-partisan. RFK Jr.
Oh, RFK.
He's like all the good stuff about Trump, and then actually all the good stuff you would want in a person, in a political candidate. Like I think, and even a lot of Trump people, if you see them being interviewed, they're actually like, yeah, actually I do like that RFK guy. You know, so I think it's the best option. I mean, obviously I'm not a fan of the Biden
really RFK
Kamala thing. Mm. Yeah.
Who else? Oh, Cornel West is my guy.
Is he going to run? Is he running?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that too.
But then you get threatened by people on the left going, "Don't fucking vote for him because you're gonna put the orange man in president." I mean, in office, and I'm like, "Fuck you!"
I'm tired
of voting for the shitty ass Democrats.
Right.
Because their platform is, we're not Trump.
Yeah, it's a losing game. And, you know, it's only making things worse. And there's only going to be more and more backlash. People are like, but we have to get him in there. It's like, you understand, if we elect Biden again, the Republicans are going to get even more seats in the Senate and the House. Like, it's actually not going to be a good thing because he's awful. He's barely alive. Everyone hates Kamala. They wish they would just get rid of her. Yeah, but
no,
so,
that's not a good ticket.
But I think what we need to do is like, okay, well, we can jump over the bridge when we get to the you know, the real election. But for the primaries, like, let's really try to get somebody in besides Biden. I know DNC is going to fuck us six ways to Sunday on that. The DNC,
yes.
But if we all, you know, like only like 23% of the country actually votes in primaries. So if we right now, there's still time. Get because depending on your state, you might need to be registered as a Democrat. And I don't really care what your politics are.
Right,
like the Republican thing, it's already going to be Trump for Republicans. So you're wasting your primary vote. Just register as a Democrat and get RFK, maybe Cornel West, but I really look into RFK.
Yeah.
RFK had a great episode that he did with his wife, Cheryl Hines, on Tim Dillon's podcast. So that's a great listen if you want to just like get
into
something.
By the way, it was so funny. I saw Tim the day of that, the night of that he did the, and he was just making fun of RFK's voice.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
He was just like, like Tim on stage going, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like the way Tim gets really.
But you got it. You think about it. You know, that's a great argument for electing RFK because the impersonations, the comics are going to get to do, the SNL stuff, that's going to be so good. We've already got Trump. You can still do your awesome Trump impersonation. That'll still be evergreen. But then we need RFK to like get in there so we can do that voice.
Yeah. But yeah, so. Yeah, I like Cornel West across the board, but you know, we'll see. I mean,
I don't even know if they're going to be debates because the, you know, DNC doesn't want Biden.
Yeah, they fucking kneecapped Bernie twice.
Right.
I was really big Bernie guy.
Me too.
You know.
Yeah, I never voted for Hillary in anything. I'll just say that.
Oh, is that right?
I always found
you.
Someone else to vote for in primaries and in
Yeah.
I think last. Even for like the Biden Kamala, I couldn't. I just voted for like Tulsi Gabbard and Andrew Yang or something. Yeah. I was like, I can't.
Yeah, who did I vote for?
It was in Texas, so it's not like my vote fucking mattered.
I don't remember, but whatever. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, so let's just, I mean, this would be my advice to you because it's kind of the same thing I do.
Okay,
and especially as a man, it's really important. Chivalry, I think, is really key and important. We need men to help protect females from, we need good men to protect us from the bad men. Good people with guns, the bad people with guns. It's that kind of thing. We really do. And there needs to be a culture amongst y'all where you really don't put up. And sometimes, like some of the misogyny and sexism, it can be kind of easy to be like, ha, ha, ha. And I think that we have to figure out how to move forward because we don't really want a world where you're worrying that you accidentally raped a woman or that you're accidentally platforming or being befriending someone.
So you're saying guys should be helping and policing themselves.
Yeah. Hey, bro, that's not cool. Like, wait. Because like, there's a comic who has a joke that is just literally pro date rape. Like, I hear him telling, he's a successful comic, and he has a joke where he says, you know, one thing that really annoys me if a bitch says, like, you rape me. That's so annoying whenever bitches say that shit. And anyway, I didn't rape you. I got you drunk and took advantage of you.
Wow.
And anyway, everyone knows it's not rape unless you say no three times. It's Beetlejuice rules. Literally, word for word a bit.
He hasn't gotten back, like, wow.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I cannot, and I talk to, some people are more upset than others about that, but it's like, and they're like, oh, he's a nice guy in person. I'm like, he's literally, like, that's just old school, like, that is legally rape now. You're not allowed to get someone drunk and take advantage of them. But also, it's like, that's just the old, that's not even a joke. That's just the old, I mean, the Beetlejuice line, I guess, technically makes it a joke, but, like, that's just the old mentality of, like, hey, let's just try to take advantage of women.
Yeah.
Like, that's not.
And that's poisonous because young guys who are watching that this famous comedian or whatever are like, okay, well, if he says it's okay.
Yeah. I don't, you know, when we talk about like rape culture and stuff, like I realize like there are annoying young people who go over the top with how they talk about the patriarchy and rape culture, but there is actually like, that's, so when I talk to guy comics about it and say like, dude, like, can you believe this? And they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, he's more successful than me, so I can't say anything. And I don't know, like, he's a nice guy. Like, it's not like, I don't know. He's just having fun. I'm like,
yeah,
we need the guys who can be like, dude, you know, like, I want a guy who is also a successful comic, whatever, to go up to him afterwards and go, are you fucking kidding me, dude? Like, in what world is that okay? Do you not love your mom? Do you not love your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking disgusting, and it's actually not even funny. And he wasn't even get, like, every time I've seen him do that bit, he's getting more laughs on everything around it, but people just have that momentum of laughter from before, and he's famous-ish, and they love him for his jokes, and so they kind of give him some laughter.
Absolutely.
And then everyone else kind of hears that, and so it's just
absolutely.
Kind of, but I don't think, you know, it's not a good bit on any level. But so I also, when you hear an allegation, I think the best thing to do would be to take it seriously, to not knee jerk go, oh, fuck that guy forever, but to take it seriously. And maybe if you have some people that, you know him a little bit,
so
like,
I need to do my own
look
research.
Into it a little bit.
Yep.
If you can talk to a woman involved, if there's any way to do that, like try, I think we all have to try our best. It's our moral obligation to try our best to do what looking into it that we can, if we're in a position to give this guy a hug, to put this guy in a show, to whatever, because you really don't. Well, you could literally be responsible for, now he's going to assault some woman at that show, that you put him on or whatever. Or, or you hug him, he puts that on his Instagram, and women go, oh, well, if Eddie's friends with that, I mean, he must be, and you just don't want to be.
Fuck. You don't want to. That's what this woman was saying to me, I don't want you to be tainted with his brush, blah, blah, blah.
But at the same time, like, I work with Louis C.K., and so a lot of there are people who think that that's wrong. But I'm like, if you think about what he was accused of versus, like, some of the other stuff that we've seen at this point.
Right.
I'm like,
his was, I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I looked into it, back then. I've looked into it as much as I can over the years, and I've talked to him about it. And I think, what he was doing, first of all, it was in his mind consensual. And he wasn't at the time reflecting, except for the phone call one where he's jerking off on the phone and didn't tell her. But he told her later. He apologized. She forgave him. But the other ones where he was, asking people, he didn't have a full understanding at the time of, what it's like to have the power and have women not really be
you know, be able to stand up for ourselves or kind of say what we want. There's also this dynamic where women can be very agreeable, and it can be kind of easy to wear us down on stuff. And we might be, we might love someone. Like, we love Louis because he's so funny and we love his brain so much. And the fact that he's attracted to us can feel amazing, because you're like, I can't believe this person. I like, I love him and his mind and knows so much, and he's attracted to me, and maybe I have daddy issues anyway. And so, then if he wants something from you sexually, there's a part of you that's like, no, I don't know that I want that, but I like that you want that. And I like flirting with you, but I'm not sure that I want it. And so, but then he kind of, oh, come on, just let me jerk off. So I think what happened, particularly with the two women who got him into the trouble, really, they left. I've heard that they left that his hotel room, like, giggling, and kind of they told, started telling people about it. And eventually his manager came and said to them, like, hey, like he's married. At the time, he was still married. You know, like, can you guys please keep this? And it was a very kink negative time in, like, you know, 2004, seven, whenever. And so, you know, like, the thing about that is when they walked away from that, they had a story. What was in it for them was that they go, we got to see Louis C.K.'s dick and he jerk off. Oh, that's like funny. And like, they get to tell people and laugh. But if they're told, no, you need to shut up about that. Like, hey, don't be bitches about this. You need to shut up about that. Then you've taken that away from this. And now they've just kind of been used. And
then
so
what?
Now they've just kind of been used. Because, and they agreed to it, but they didn't know they needed to be silent, and they were just kind of talked into it. And I think what should have happened in that situation, if you're in the girl's place, is you should say, yeah, dude, if you pay us $3,000 or whatever it should have been at the time, depending on how much he was making, like, and then he goes, okay, but you also can't tell anyone. Okay, $6,000 if we can't tell anyone. And then you walk away going, hell yeah, it was easy money. I love that. Like, Louis C.K. jerked off about me. Yeah. Like, this is awesome. Drinks on me tonight, ladies. Like, you know, like, that's a good... But if you walk away going, did I really want to do that? Did he just kind of wear me down? And I'm telling people and having a good time telling a story, but now you're telling I can't. So I think these stories, it's like there's so much going on that we're not talking about when we just go, he's a rapist. It was a bad date. Like, we should talk about what's really going on in these things and learn from them instead of it making everything into a polarized.
Right. And that's what I was just going to say. I have friends who, as soon as they hear an allegation, they're like, they'll advise me going, don't you go near that person. I'm like, you know.
Right. But we can't take allegations as gospel. You know, have to look into it. But there's an amount where you go, sometimes you hear an allegation against someone and you already didn't like that person. And we all kind of go, you know what? I don't really mind that asshole getting canceled. He's always been a douchebag. But I still try to have some amount of like, hey, you shouldn't be like, his crimes that I am aware of are just being a douchebag, and that when it doesn't mean his life should be ruined. But there are some people where you go, okay, you're a jerk. Everything you say on stage is actually racist, misogynistic, et cetera, et cetera. And it's one thing if you're playing the villain, but now that I'm hearing this, like, it leans in a direction where, but then at the same time you go, but Cosby was so clean cut, and then it turns out he was the worst of all. So you don't want to judge someone based on any of that. So I just think you have to try, because we are a community. Like, we're each other's colleagues and we're each other's community, and we need to, we're almost in a religion together. Like, we're almost a church, you know, and we need to try to figure these things out. And it's, there's a way to do it where you go, hey, like, I've heard this thing. You like, so you go to someone close to whatever, try to figure it out. But men defend each other so much as a knee jerk. They don't know whether their friend's innocent, but they go, this is my buddy. There's no way he could have done that. But again, you don't know that about your buddy. You also don't even realize about yourself a lot of times, like, how much you're capable of doing things that you really are not okay.
Yeah.
But you were raised wrong, and women were raised wrong. So we're also, you know, it's,
I
like,
was thinking about
together.
That too. Like, let me just look and see what time.
Yeah, did they ever say?
My show is, let's see.
Oh, okay. All right.
You can literally go up whenever you want. I'll let showrunner know to expect you towards the end of it the next hour or the who's being summoned?
You're we were just getting a gift for you. The marker?
Oh.
Weed.
I tried to, I fucking bought weed. Yeah. Last I felt like such a rube.
Yeah.
I fucking
you bought weed?
I went to this weed shop here and I'm like, "Oh, it says pre-rolls da da da."
Yeah.
And they charged me $80 for these four little pre-rolls.
Oh, no.
I smoked one with my friend and nothing. And I'm like, I go back, I go,
CBD,
this is shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, because we can only sell 0.3 THC. I'm like, why didn't you fucking tell me that before
you
I bought it?
You wouldn't have bought them. You could buy edibles from them because the weight yeah,
the
is different.
Edibles were strange.
Yeah. Well, is it Delta 9 or 8 or something?
I don't know, but it was 10 milligrams, they yeah. said, of THC.
Yeah.
But it was strange. I was watching a Little Richard documentary. Yeah. And just like, and having sex as well, uh-huh. you know, very consensual. Yes. And it was just a weird dream.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, those, I think it's probably Delta 8 or 9 because.
What does that mean?
It's because they manipulate the biology of the weed a little bit so that it's not technically hemp or something. It's like derived from. So it would be way better to use what God put on the earth. But instead, we for science and, you know, legal reasons, we got to change it to stuff. I mean, that's one of the reasons we should just legalize the shit so that we're not all taking these weird chemical
versions.
Yeah,
is it not legal in Nevada?
I thought it was, but maybe it's in a gray.
That's why I went into the fucking store.
It's the distance between casinos, so you have to go to
I know. That I found out yesterday. The guy goes to me, since we're right across from the casino, we can only... I'm like, what are you fucking talking about?
But it's like in New York, it's legal, but the shops there are all fucked up. They're not like the real good kind of stuff that you get in Colorado and California and stuff. Yeah, so it's still better
to
just...
I've been spoiled by L.A. where you could
just
walk...
Yeah, L.A.'s got... The shops are perfect. On the West Coast, the shops everywhere are awesome.
Yeah.
But in New York, it's weird. It's like all this kind of bullshit. It's overpriced.
Oh,
it's weird.
Right?
All from the trucks,
in New York?
The stores. Yeah. You still have to just go to the black market when you want good stuff in New York.
You what?
You still have to go to the
still?
Black market. I mean,
oh,
it's just better.
Weird.
It's cheaper. It's better.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know what's going on. They're just weird regulations in every state.
Yeah. But anyway, I took it as a message from the universe saying, you're doing so good not smoking pot. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get back. Because I have a very addictive
yeah.
personality where if I introduce, and I'm glad it came though, where it, I am so conflicted, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
that's talking about people knowing themselves.
Yeah.
You can, one thing I realize is I can rationalize anything.
Yeah, that's the problem with being intelligent, is you can convince yourself of whatever you want. Yeah.
You can, right?
Yeah.
Because you could just go through these mental gymnastics of like, well, yeah, that's true, but this is also true.
Yeah, it's good. I try to write down whenever I feel like I have learned a lesson, I feel like I got to write it down. And even then, like, make sure to review those things. I have a note file on my phone that is like with my stand up notes. But it's like now the whole first page of it is just like, don't drink before a set, Ariel. Just don't. You talk yourself into it. You can have like,
that's so funny.
You have like half a beer. It can be fine. Yeah. But like, I'm like, oh, they give me drink tickets and they have frozen drinks here. And mm-hmm. I love that. And mm-hmm. I don't have time mm-hmm. after my, you know, I'll just have a little. And it's always just. It just dulls me even just a little bit.
Have you ever performed on weed?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
Sometimes it could be great.
Sometimes it's great. I've gone through phases for sure where, like, when I started stand up, I was always sober, or like maybe I would have half a beer or something. You right. know what I mean? But I would, and then I did a get high show for, you know, and then I loved it and I was so present and connected. It was like a breakthrough. So
yeah.
then I was like always getting high before sets. But
yeah.
then it became like I'm sneaking into restrooms to get high
yes.
exactly 20 minutes before my set,
yes.
one and a half puffs.
Exactly. 20
and now you're relying on it.
Yes.
So then one day I took acid before. Show. And that cured me of feeling so ever since then I was just like, oh, I'm funny and I can just trust that. And I so now I just
right.
feel it out. If I feel like having a little bit of weed, like it's like if I'm kind of bored and numb by a show and I just want to be a little like I can be loose at this show.
That's yeah. right. When I'm really tired, I realized
mm-hmm.
if I take a hit of mm-hmm. weed, I'm so connected to
mm-hmm.
the to me and to the crowd?
Right. Is this going to make me more connected or more in my head?
Right.
And so it depends on where you're at. You kind of assess, like, how am I in my body right now? How am I, you know, and would it be better to actually be a little, you know, like if you're feeling nothing, you ever, you know, usually before a set, you still feel something.
Yes.
You know, but then
sometimes
even after
you're
all these
like,
years, sometimes you feel nothing. And so then it's like, at that point, you either do 10 push-ups or you take a little hit of weed or something.
Yeah. I'm always against the push-ups.
Yeah, so the weed works. I do the weed instead, yeah.
But
I don't know.
I should go. I should go.
Yeah,
soon.
I don't want you to miss that. Let's
How long
see.
Do you usually go? Are you a 2-hour person?
It just kind of depends on the. Okay. But I don't mind. I have to pee really bad.
You
so
could
I don't,
talk forever, I
don't,
can tell.
Yeah, can't you?
Not in a
can
bad
you
way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think if there's any last thoughts that we need to put out about.
That things are very. I think. I think things are complex, they're nuanced, you know, and we live now, and the media is very responsible for this. We live in a very polarized world, and people are looking to blame people.
Right. Well, you know what
Left
part of that
and
is,
right.
And you know what part of that is we have so much cognitive dissonance about our place in the evils of our empire and the world. And so you don't want the upper middle class person who really is benefiting off of the exploitation of not only their fellow citizens, but people around the world, the cobalt and everything like that. It's too hard to go, you know, it's like easier to just put the science is love and women are people or whatever sign in your yard and then go, oh, you know who's bad? The transphobes and the racist over there, whatever. And you go, well, those are the bad people and I'm fighting for women.
Yes.
And so, but you're not, but it's like, yeah, but you shop on Amazon 7 packages
Correct.
A day and
Correct.
You're not doing anything to help anybody, you know, like you're just
so
on
true.
The right side of history in some, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, in other words, if I check off the box of I believe in science and,
right.
you know, I'm for this
I right. I have the right opinions.
If I have the right opinions, then I can fucking put my finger on who this scumbag. Now, I do it. Now, it's so funny. I blame the corporate takeover of everything.
Right.
And
right.
I blame... that and I blame like I try to blame the good stuff,
yeah,
you know, like follow the money type
yeah.
stuff and national, like waving the flag in support of the military is such a dupe,
right?
You know, it's like, yeah, give your money to all these contractors,
right.
Raytheon, whoever they are, you know, and people.
It's a money laundering thing for the politicians, essentially, and it's also a way to get votes. You know, it's a jobs program for your voter base,
right.
And then that keeps them going, yeah, we like
Even
you.
Even Bernie Sanders doesn't vote against, I guess, Vermont. they fucking assemble a lot of submarines or something,
yeah.
something like that. They have a big military base, and he's always voting yes. For that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that's
And it's
a thing.
Like, nah, you can't do that, Bernie.
Yeah, you get a little disillusioned with Bernie, too.
Oh, I am
yeah.
at this point, you know?
RFK is the only one I still believe in now. Maybe
what?
Tulsi Gabbard. I still believe in RFK, though. I think that...
You
the
do.
Thing
you
is,
really
you
do.
Really
I've heard
of...
a couple of things I'm not crazy about. One
yeah.
is, and I have to look into it more, but the complete anti-vax thing.
Well, he's not completely anti-vax.
He
he's not. That's been, you know, somewhat propagandized.
Maybe he's been smeared with that brush.
Some of it is smearing. And you, when you listen to him talking about it, you go, okay, there is some stuff going on here with the vaccine. It's just kind of like we've learned with the recent vaccines. Like, okay, well, there's some hanky-panky going on there. So, like, is it not possible that the pharmaceutical industry who has the
That's
government and they're like
That's
is it not
true.
Possible that these completely profit-driven people are cutting some corners in terms of our health and safety?
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah.
he's kind of in that camp of like there's some questions, like it's possible, you know, and anyway, look into his stuff a little bit more, but who cares if he's even wrong about a lot of the vaccine stuff?
True.
Or, you know, he kind of got in trouble the other day because he's made some comments about 9/11. He's not sure if there was a little bit of, you know, shenanigans with that too, and I'm like, the rally is aren't all of us kind of in that same place? Look, after Epstein and everything, like, we don't fucking know how much bullshit is going on. We know the Kennedys were assassinated.
I know.
We know there might
be. Comes from
the
that.
Aliens are either real or they're not, but they're lying to us now that they are real in order to.
I know
it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea that we're going, oh, he's so crazy because he's questioning
this
stuff. We're all questioning this stuff.
That's true. I should look into him a little more, but also, why don't you like Cornell?
I didn't even realize he was. I mean, I've always, you know, enjoyed him to some extent. I think I enjoy listening to him, but he's also a little bit like the way he communicates. I don't think that is going to really connect with people as like Trump and RFK are more able to like really directly communicate to the masses.
Yeah,
I think Cornell's a little bit too like he's not able to dumb himself down enough.
Yeah, that's true. And you're right. The DNC will kneecap RFK, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they already, again, they won't let him have Secret Service, even though that's insane. I think Hunter Biden has Secret Service, you know.
If anyone should have Secret Service, it's a Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, I think there is something nice about, you know, like, you kind of want there to be nobles who are really well educated, who don't need the money to run things. Like the yeah, that's kind of who it's supposed to be.
That's
you don't want it to be people who are getting into politics in order to get all these people to give them money. Yeah, you want old money. You want old money who grew up learning Latin and history and everything.
Yeah.
Like that's really who you want.
Yeah,
at least you want
true.
A lot of those people in there.
Absolutely.
Now we got, you know, bartenders and fucking random whoever, Lauren Boebert with the vape and the fondling, like all these. What's going on?
I know. Well, thank you, Ariel.
Yeah, thank you so much. Anything you want to plug?
Just go to my website for tour dates and all the stuff I do, eddiepepitone.com.
Nice. All right. Thanks so much, Eddie.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.